Good evening, everybody. Our Divrei Torah should be a continued schus for the Eitz Tzar that Klal Yisrael find themselves in now. So last night we began to discuss the ramifications and the guidelines of a neder be'Eitz Tzara. So last night was a hakma. Perhaps we'll just continue. I don't know if we'll be able to finish tonight either, but we'll continue along in the sugya. Last night we began, just a quick recap where we're up to. Last night we spoke about the pasuk that says, Helas. It's better for a person not to take a nether than for a person to take a nether and not follow through and not come through with the promise that he has made. Says the Gemara in Chulin Daf Beis, the same Gemara comes up also in Nedarim Daf Tes. The Gemara says, B'shem Rab Meir, that Tov Mizeh Mizeh, best thing for a person to do, better than anything else, is not to take a nether at all. She'ein another kalikr. Don't get involved in making Nedarim. Don't ever make promises. Then the Gemara tells us that perhaps for a Dvar Mitzvah you're allowed to make a promise, but otherwise, if you're not really trying to strengthen a mitzvah that you're weak at, then the Gemara assumes, and this is the way the Mechaber Paskens in Siman Reish Gimel in Yerodeya, that also we should stay away from Nedarim. One should not get himself involved in this parsha of Nedarim at all. So what is the reason for this? Why do we say in Siman Reish Gimel in Yerodeya, why do we assume that the halacha is like Reb Meir, that a person should stay away from Nedarim? What's wrong? Nedarim is a good thing. We have a whole parsha in the Torah, Parshas Matos, talks about Nedarim at length. Ish ki yidor neder la'Hashem. There is such a concept as making a nether, so why do we assume that it's best to stay away from the parsha of Nedarim if one is able to? So there are two reasons given. First reason that we find the Ran in Nedarim quotes a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi tells us as follows. Lo dayach masha asra Torah. You should have a hard enough time keeping all the Tariq mitzvahs. I find it difficult to stay away from Lashon Hara. I find it difficult to stay away from eating Chazer, to stay away from doing this Isser, that Isser. Now you're going to go ahead and put more Isserim on yourself. What, it's not enough what the Torah told you is Isser already. You think you need more things to make restrictions on your life? Therefore, says the Yerushalmi, don't go ahead and make Nedarim. Don't volunteer to make yourself more restricted than you already are. That's the first reason that the Yerushalmi says. And this is what the Ran in Nedarim and the Rambam Paskins as well in Hilchos Nedarim. Hilchos Deus, he quotes in Hilchos Nedarim. We didn't get there yet. This is Agdama. Not up to there yet. Okay. So that you have to come back tomorrow. So the second reason that we find, in order to appreciate the halacha, you have to hear the background. Right? It's always like that. So the second reason that we find why a person should stay away from Nedarim is what the Gemara tells us in Nedarim and Daf Yud. And that is, the Gemara is concerned that perhaps a person is not going to follow through. We take Nedarim, if we're going to be loose about it, if we're going to take it lightly, then perhaps the person won't end up coming through with his promise, and then he's going to be over in Isser Chamer, Layachol Devaro. So therefore we assume, don't take Nedarim at all. That's what the Gemara tells us in Nedarim and Daf Yud. Along those same lines, the Gemara tells us, both in Nedarim and in Pesachim Daf Samach Vav, the Gemara says a story about Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken, the reason why he was called Hillel, the old man, is because we generally refer to the base Hillel. We talk about all the Talmidim of Hillel. Hillel HaZaken means the real Hillel. Hillel HaZaken and Shammai HaZaken were the two Bar Pluktas, the two Tanaim, who were alive at the same time. So Hillel HaZaken, the Gemara says about him, that he was very concerned about taking a neder and not following through. So therefore, whenever Hillel HaZaken felt the need to take a neder upon himself to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, although we have a pasuk in Chumash that says, Ish ki yakdish es Beis HaKodesh LaShem, that a person, in order to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, he has to be makdish it beforehand, Hillel was so concerned, if I'm going to be makdish a carbon at home, and then I'm only going to visit the Beis HaMikdash on Shalosh Regalim, something's going to happen in between. Either I'll forget about it, and I'm not going to bring it, or I will bring it, but in the interim, I'm going to be mo'ed behekdish, I'm going to use it for my own purposes, I'm not going to realize that I'm violating an Isser of Me'ilah. So Hillel said, you know what, I'm never going to be makdish a carbon at home, because I'm concerned that it is going to be a mistake before I get to the Beis HaMikdash. So what Hillel used to do? Everyone has to bring karbanos. The Gemara says Hillel would walk his carbon up to the entrance of the Azara, and only then would he be Makdashit. He would never be Makdashit before he got to the Beis HaMikdash, because he was afraid that something was going to go wrong. Ask the Gemara Akasha, just parenthetically, a very interesting Gemara that has a lot of important nafkaminas lahalacha. The Gemara asks Akasha, how is he allowed to do that? Don't we know on Yom Tov there's a chiv to bring Shalmei Simcha, Shalmei Chagiga, all sorts of karbanos you have to bring on Yom Tov. So how is he allowed to do that? The Mishnah says in Beitza Daf Lamed, hey, Makdishin, you're not allowed to be makdish a carbon on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So how is Hillel allowed to keep this chumrah? Which is an important thing to keep in mind. Whenever a person takes upon a chumrah, he has to realize that there's always going to be a kula. It's always like that. You just have to outweigh if the chumrah is better than the kula that you're creating. So over here as well, the Gemara tells us, Hillel used to have a chumrah, a very nice chumrah, to be machmer on yourself, never to be makdish a carbon beforehand. because you're concerned something's going to go wrong, you're not going to follow through on your promise, maybe you'll be mild the hektish, but what do you do on Yom Tov? You're not allowed to be makdish a carbon on Yom Tov, says the Gemara, you're right. However, although Chazal tell us in Beit Sadaf Lamed, hey, a makdish and mishabbos v'yom tov, you're not allowed to be makdish a carbon on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because it's exera like mekach memkar, it's like making a transaction in a store, it's like buying something. However, when it comes to a carbon shekavua lozman, or a carbon that's a chobas hayom, let's say you have shalmi simcha, shalmi nedava, that a person has to bring on Shabbos or Yom Tov, whatever it might be, so then this isur derabanan of a makdishim does not apply. That's what the Gemara answers over here in Adar Menem Psachim, and that was the heter that Hillel had to be makdish his carbon on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's what the Gemara says. I frek the Gemara, there's a separate isur mechamer b'yom tov, you're not allowed to lead your animal on Shabbos or Yom Tov to walk after you, so how is he allowed to do it? Okay, so the Gemara has all sorts of problems with this story. But be it as it may, the Gemara tells us that. One very important nafkamina la'alacha that comes out of that Gemara by Hillel is the following. The Pasuk says, it's quoted in Shabbos Daf Kufnun, I mean, it's a Pasuk in Navi, but the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kufnun discusses this Pasuk. The Gemara says that we learn from the Pasuk, V'karasa l'Shabbos Oneg, l'chdosh Hashem Mechubad, that we have certain ways that we're supposed to act on Shabbos and certain ways that we are not allowed to act on Shabbos. So one of the things that the Gemara says is there's an isra of dabra dabra. What does it mean, dabra dabra? Dabra dabra means that it's asr le dabra divrei chol b'Shabbos. You have to talk in a different way on Shabbos. Shabbos has to be a whole different day than the rest of the week. So along those lines, Rashi writes in Beit Sadaf Lamed Vav that included in the isra of a dabra dabra is also the isra of mekach u'memkar b'Shabbos, meaning that if I do business during the week and this is the way I talk to my clients, this is the way I talk to my partners, on Shabbos I have to be in a totally different mode. I'm not allowed to talk business on Shabbos. I'm not allowed to talk transactions because that's Dibur Echol and that's in violation of a Dabur Dabur. So that's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun. Says the Gemara, I mean the Achronim already asked the Kasha, the Rishonim are bothered with it. How am I allowed to sell Aliyos on Shabbos? Right? You get up and you sell the Aliyos, or a person makes a Mishaberach and he gets up and he says, Bavur Sheyitin. What? So the Gemara answers, how are you allowed to do that? So the Gemara doesn't talk about Aliyos, but the Gemara says that although we have a din v'dabra dabra, there's a certain way that you must talk on Shabbos. However, when it comes to a Dvar Mitzvah, the Gemara says, like you mentioned, the Gemara tells us in Ksubas Daf Hey that this Isra of dabra dabra doesn't apply. For example, says the Gemara, if I'm trying to figure out how much money I'm going to need to put together my son's wedding or my daughter's wedding, and I'm trying to figure out how many guests are going to show up, and Shabbos is the time when everyone's in shul and I can talk to them about it, says the Gemara, for a Dvar Mitzvah, it's mutter. You're planning your child's wedding, even though it's business on Shabbos, still it's mutter. Similarly, the Gemara says, Shadech Habanos, right, to make a shidduch, to figure out all the details, whether it's compatible or not, says the Gemara, you're allowed to do it, even though that's generally something that's like a transaction. You see in the Gemara already, they considered a shidduch like a transaction. Interesting. But anyway, that's what the Gemara says. So we get past that problem. How are you allowed to sell Aliyos? The answer is because that's not a violation of Dabra Dabra, because that is a Dvar Mitzvah. However, there's a more fundamental problem. Ask the Ritva and Chulin the following question. The Gemara has this Isser of Mekuch Memkar on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Well, says the Ritva, what about the Isser of Emakdishin? Right? The Gemara says in Beit Sadaf Lamed Hey, you're not allowed to be makdish something on Shabbos. So a person gets up, he gets an aliyah, they say, Bavushi Yitain. So whatever amount he's going to say, or he's going to say, Bavushi Yitain Matana, but you're not allowed to do that. Isn't that Mekuch Memkar? Isn't that a violation of Emakdishin? So that's the kasha that the Rishonim ask in Nedarim Daf Yud. How is a person allowed to take a nether upon himself when he gets an aliyah on Shabbos if we know that's a violation of Emakdishim or Mekach U'Memkar of Shabbos V'Yom Tov? How is he allowed to do it? So the Ritva gives two answers. Number one, the Ritva says, no, because what's the reason Emakdishim? What's the reason Mekach U'Memkar is Asur? Because we're concerned, maybe you're going to write it down. So if I run a store and everyone's buying on credit, so I'm going to write down this and this person owes me money. If he pays me right there, there's nothing to write down. So over here, says the Ritva, we have such good gabayim in the Bati Knesias and Bati Midrashas that the second Shabbos is over, they're going to be jumping on you. So says the Ritva, there's nothing to worry about the Shema Yichtov. They're not going to write it down. They're going to send you a bill right after Shabbos. Don't worry about it. Isser Mekach Memka doesn't apply when we talk about Aliyos. I don't know where they davened in those days, but in our days, we certainly don't have that heter because we don't go after people. If you would know how much money is due in membership in every single shul across the country, you would understand that we don't have gabayim that operate like this that the Ritva describes. Answer number two that the Ritva gives is the following. Says the Ritva, because we're collecting for poor people, and Shabbos is the day that most people come to shul, during the week everyone's busy, everyone's down somewhere else, little shtiblach, everyone's running around, But Shabbos is the day that everybody comes together, so this is the only opportunity that we have to actually collect the money for the aniyim that they need. That's what the Ritva answers. So even though it's a violation of Mekach HaMemker B'Shabbos V'Yamtiv and Emakdishim, still we would assume that because it's a Tzarech Gadol, it's Mutter. So says the Rav Yah, where does this Heter come from? Where does this Heter come from? So what is a Tzarech Gadol? It's still an Isra of Emakdishim. Says the Rav Yah, the same way the Gemara says by Hillel, if you remember where we started, same way the Gemara says by Hillel, that he didn't used to be Makdish his carbon until he got to the Beis HaMikdash, because he was concerned of not following through with his promise. Ask the Gemara, how is he allowed to be Makdish on Shabbos and Yom Tov when he had to bring a carbon that was Kavu Alozman, that he had to bring on that day? Answers the Gemara, carbon Shekavu Alozman, you're allowed to do, because that's not included in the Isser Memkar Chul Memkar. Well, says the Rav Yah, along those same lines, when you have it Tzorach Gadol, just like Hillel had it Tzorach Gadol to be Makdish a carbon on Shabbos and Yom Tov, whenever you have a real Tzorach Gadol, then Mekach HaMemka doesn't apply. So too over here, says the Rav Yah, that's the pshat in this Heter. We have a Tzorach Gadol because the Aniyim needs the money from our community. The only day that everybody's in Shul is on Shabbos, so we can collect the most money on Shabbos. Therefore, says the Ritva, that's the Heter, the same way we find it by the story of Hillel. The problem is, the Shevet HaLevi points out, that both Heterim of the Ritva don't really apply Bizman HaZeh. Number one, the Ritva gave a heter that the Gabarim are going to run after the person right after Shabbos, so there's no concern of Shema Yichtov. That really we don't find so much today. And second of all, the Ritva's heter is that we're collecting for Aniyim, and the Aniyim are going to starve, and if we don't collect the money when everybody's in shul, then the Aniyim are not going to have what to eat. Well, nowadays, when we do Mishaberachs, we're not really collecting for the Aniyim, we're collecting for the shul. So is the shul really going to close down if we don't make an appeal on Shabbos itself? Arguable, maybe yes, maybe no. So the Shevet HaLevi just points out that we have to rethink about this heter of making Mishaberachs on Shabbos. If I remember correctly, does our shul make Mishaberachs?
No.
I don't think so. I think it was just to save time. But perhaps there's a more... what? Not because of this reason. I think it was just to save time. But perhaps maybe the hidden reason that Rabbi Feiner didn't want to tell us is because there's a major problem. Both heterim that the Rishonim give to make a Mishaberach on Shabbos is only because you have a real emergency and the only way to make money is to do it on Shabbos. Perhaps when you're dealing with a shul, it's not the same kind of urgency that you would have when you're dealing with aniyim. So maybe tomorrow night we'll continue with the sugya of Nether Beis Tzara. And so far these are just two outcomes. Maybe we'll get to it, maybe not. Okay, have a good night.